Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davinthin live on WTBQ. You can hear us live on 93.5 FM, 1110 AM, WTBQ.com, or the replay on Davinthin Facebook page, where we would love if you liked us. You can call us 845-651-1110 or instant message us on Facebook. I'm your host, Davin Rosenblatt, and I am joined in studio by Joe Curry.
That is right.
All right, Rupert Murdoch, was that what that accent was?
I'm a little boisterous. I had lousy traffic coming up.
Of course you did. Nobody cares about your traffic.
Nobody cares.
So far we have manning the board, Rich, but that will be handed off to Frank momentarily.
The big handoff.
We are the transition portion of the of the show.
Yes.
We got a lot of cool stuff planned. I do want to mention we're actually going to play a little game tonight. We're going to be giving away passes to the lovely Orange County Fair in Middletown, New York. A lot of concerts there, family-friendly stuff, rides for the kids. So what we're going to do is we're going to bring back a game that you and I created on a long, long road trip to Michigan.
Yes.
God or Lover. Basically, people, if you want to call in and win some tickets, or if you just want to play and you don't want to win the tickets, I don't care. Just love you hear your voice. Basically, we're going to play some... I'm an honest broadcaster, if nothing else. What we're going to do is you're going to call in. You say you want to play Frank or Rich, depending who's working the board at the
time. We'll disconnect you.
And Joe's an honest broadcaster, too. They'll disconnect you at first, and then you'll call back again, and we'll hope for the best. But what will happen is we will play a 30-second clip of a song, and you will have to determine if it is about your Lord and Savior or somebody else's Lord and Savior or perhaps a lover. And you can guess, and you can win fabulous prizes.
Fabulous prizes.
So we're going to be playing that throughout the show. So if you want to call in for that, the number is 845-651-1110. That's 845-651-1110. Those are for some passes to the lovely Orange County Family Fair. It is good to be back in studio with you, Joe.
Yes, nice to see you.
We did. We mailed it in. Well, I phoned it in.
Phoned it in last week.
You and Pip Helix held it down and did a great job.
But thank you, sir.
Back in the community now. But when we left, Joe, you plugged a private event, which. I don't know why you plugged a private event, but I've gotten a lot of emails. People did not know that you were actually Santa Claus.
To feel my pain.
Yeah, so Joe's actually, you know, when he's not making the millions doing this lovely radio show, he has to ham and egg it as Santa Claus.
Ham and egg. Yes, during the winter, during the month of December, obviously, I play Santa Claus. Somebody had it in their bright mind that it would be a great idea to have Christmas in July. And meanwhile, I get a call from my agent while I'm drunkenly waking up in Alexander Bay from a bender, and I accept the gig. And it was a beautiful, lovely 85-degree day when it's nice to put on a Santa suit and sweat at a backyard pool party. But first, I have to go to the place, and I need to change somewhere, which is behind a school where a cop is hiding.
Wait a minute. You're changing behind a school into a Santa uniform.
Yeah. So the cop pulls up, and he goes, "Who are you?" And I go, "I'm the Easter Bunny." I go, "I'm doing it. It's July." I'm like, "Nice, you know how to read a calendar."
He didn't recognize you from the All Points Bulletin?
Yeah, really. So I got done with that.
Wait a minute. Really? You thought changing... into a Santa Claus outfit behind his school would be a good idea.
Well, school wasn't in session. It was a Saturday afternoon.
What are you, pedophile in training?
I'm not a pedophile in training. I'm an idiot that took a Santa gig in July.
Do you own the costume?
Yeah, I own three of them.
You own three Santa Claus costumes?
Yeah.
Is the summer costume different than the winter costume?
I wish it was. No, it's the same as the winter outfit. Usually you want some backups during the, just in case something rips, you know, in the car.
Something rips? How fat are you?
Not fat, like I'm expanding. It's just the case of a zipper breaks or like something, you know, like the boot rips or something like that. You want to...
What are you doing, S&M? You're sitting there, kids are sitting on your lap. You're lying and telling them they're going to get what they want, but you're not delivering anything because
fraud. Hold on. That's your... You get to the gig, you call the people on the cell phone to tell them Santa's there to get ready. Nobody answers the phone. You got to go up to the house like a prowler, you know. And then they got all these toys. These people give you like 9 tons of toys to bring in the house. It's like, can you get all this? You've had a forklift, and it's like, then you bang on the door. You go, you're walking through trails and stuff like that. Not trails, you're walking up steps and stuff like that, and ice and snow. There was one gig I did at a Burger King, and I'm working. It was me, SpongeBob. Yeah, me, SpongeBob.
I wonder if SpongeBob's talking about working with Santa Claus.
Well, no, he was the headliner, you know, so it was me, SpongeBob.
You opened for a sponge.
Yeah.
Well, you've been open for a douche for years, so what the heck?
And it was Cowboy Bob. Now, we're working at a Burger King.
Cowboy Bob?
Cowboy Bob.
Who's Cowboy Bob?
Oh, he's a big star. He sits there and he sings Christmas songs and stuff like that. So I have to pick up cash from doing this gig. And two Indian guys own the Burger King. So I'm done and I got to go. And I'm trying to get paid by two Indian guys as Santa Claus. So I go up to the guy, I go, oh, Santa's going to get back on the sleigh. Oh, my friend, just a minute, my friend, well, I've got reindeer to feed, you know, and it's like I'm waiting, and I go, oh, say, you know, I got to make toys for the children, and oh, my friend, I'll have the money in a second, my friend, and like 30 minutes has gone by, and it's not like a regular gig where you could grab the guy in the back and smack him with a spatula and get his money. No, I got to sit there.
Wait, I've worked with you a ton of times. I don't remember you getting loud once. You've never smacked anybody.
Yeah, you haven't played in a band, my friend.
Oh, well, the band, you got
okay,
backup.
That's 20 years of playing in bands getting money out of bar owners.
So Haji was not forthcoming with the money?
No, he finally coughed up.
He coughed up the money?
He got
intimidated by SpongeBob and Santa Claus?
Well, yeah, well, I hope Captain Bob got paid, whatever, Cowboy Bob got paid.
Cowboy Bob.
Well, you know.
Hey, you know who just checked in? Who's listening tonight?
Who?
Our buddy who's in Afghanistan right now, Mr. Joe Padula.
Ah, Joe.
Our vet is Joe. Keep your head down. Keep safe.
Yep, and tell everybody there we thank you for what you are doing.
Yes, indeed, and we look forward to having you back in studio again. The transition has been made. Frank is manning the helm, and our guest just walked in. We're going to have him on the second hand. We have tonight. We're going in the second half of the show. We're going to have Lieutenant Andy, and Andy is a lieutenant in a major metropolitan city for the organized crime division. So we're going to be talking a little mob, a little drug bust.
Nah, see?
We're going to be talking mob from the 20s, apparently. We're going to get in our Model Ts and shut down the speakeasy if we have to.
Nah, we're going
to
talk to the screw, see? Nah.
And that's what happens when I give Joe Curry a little too much leash.
What's that on your laptop? What is that? You put stickers on your laptop? What are you, 14?
I have a sticker on my laptop?
What is that? It looks like, what is that?
What are you talking about?
What is that little, what's that to do with stickers?
No, it's just the way they make them.
Ugh. All right.
Sorry, Joe. I'm sorry my laptop doesn't meet your needs.
All right.
Yeah, Mr. Joe doesn't even... I'm not going to rip into you now, Captain.
I got my rank back. Good.
You got your rank.
You're back on site.
People are calling me, probably telling you to dummy up. Anyway, so we're going to have Lieutenant Andy in there. Now, you have been telling me you want to talk about this next subject for quite some time. I've been trying to stay away from it because everybody has been discussing it, but I will give you your chance and I will make you feel small and weak and insignificant. The debt ceiling, Joe.
Ah, yes.
The debt ceiling.
Yes, the debt ceiling. I think that they're raising the debt ceiling again, and I think that I don't think they should raise the taxes. They shouldn't be raising taxes.
Wait, but do you think they should raise the debt ceiling?
They got no choice. We're going to go out of business. We're going to be hiding.
Nobody will be able to hire Santa Claus.
Well, the problem is we got to borrow more money. We're going to be owing people. Other countries are going to be calling us.
But here's the thing with the debt ceiling. A lot of people don't understand this. It's that they say, well, don't raise the debt ceiling. We already borrowed that money.
Yeah.
It's not to spend more money. This is to pay the bills we already have.
Oh, yeah, have the electric company calling? It's going to be like China's going to be calling. We're going to have to duck them, you know. Hello, is America home? No, we're not here. You owe us money. You pay up.
A buffet on every corner. as Americans, we will get even fatter.
I'm in on that.
What are they all staring at over there? Frank, what are you looking at?
We're waiting a long time for that answer, aren't you? No, actually, we're looking at online at Facebook.
Good God. God forbid the
boss. We're checking up, you know?
God forbid the boss pay attention. Never, but carry on.
As I was.
As you were,
as
sir.
As you were, sir.
I just saw the three of you gathered around, your eyes wide, your jaws open. I figured there was like naked Casey Anthony on
see
there.
See no evil, hear no
They're
evil.
They're looking at us. It's like they never look at us. They acknowledge us.
Do you finally have the Casey Anthony porn that we've all been waiting for?
It's on its way.
That's nice. You know what? I love listening to the news because I got to found out that we paid for her defense, taxpayer. Finally, we got something good out of our tax money. We got our money's worth. She's free.
Yeah.
Good, Frank. Just keep on
working. All right. You got it.
Back to the stupid show.
Right. Back to the stupid show.
This Mac better know what's good for my Mac is giving me problems with listening to your show. Oh, this is Joe Padula.
Sorry about that.
Technology in Afghanistan, not what it should be.
No, you're gonna do.
But anyway, but Joe, you have to raise taxes.
You got to cut. No, you got to cut programs. There's a lot of programs there that are a lot of pork programs that are. That
name
are,
name. What do you want cut?
I would like a lot of these public entitlement programs cut.
Name them. What do you want
all
cut?
All right, I'll give you the perfect example. Okay, there was one lady that said that she's working a job and they're going to be cutting her payments, whatever she gets a month. And she said, "Well, I got five children. I only work one job, and it's going to be tough." Who told her to have five children? If you're working a job where you can't make ends meet, you don't go on and have five children and expect me to pick up the tab for it. Okay, there's a lot of entitlement programs there that people are on the dole and they need to be cut. Okay, and there's a whole...
What program? You just told me a story. You told me an anecdote. What program?
I like Social Security.
You want Social Security cut?
Your Social Security, you got to cut that. You also have to cut a lot of these welfare programs.
What welfare program? What do you want? So you want to take it out of the poor and the old?
No, take it out of the people. The people that are sitting there and have an entitlement program where they're waiting to get money every month. They have no incentive to go out to work. A lot of the stuff...
Who do you know that is just sitting around not trying to work?
There's a lot of people out there. A lot more than you would think. I don't want to get into specifics, but a lot of people know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of people out there.
All right, so this woman, she has the five kids. She can't stick them back in her uterus.
Yeah.
So
Figure it out. Yeah. Figure it out.
What about all these big tax breaks we give to the corporations?
Tax breaks make jobs.
Where are the jobs? Because
the problem is that with this president that we have, he's totally anti. Don't laugh. You Democrats.
Don't you point
whole,
at me.
You Democrats have this whole Burns mentality that it's all these big companies that are.
Where are the jobs? The jobs
are not out there because he's trying to tax people that are making
for 10 years?
For 10 years.
We've had the tax cuts
but,
for
well,
10 years.
But half the reasons that there's no jobs is because of NAFTA that gave the free trade agreement where they're sending all the jobs overseas. There's no reinvestment in this.
You know why they send the jobs overseas? Because the workforce is cheaper overseas.
Well, we got to do something.
So what, do you want to work for Nichols?
No, I want to work for Nichols, but what are we going to sell? What, are we going to make baskets or something like
that? It's cheaper to make products overseas.
I know it
is. So what you want is all working for third world salaries?
But we have to start reinvesting in this country. We have to start reinvesting. We can't stop giving
I agree.
Money to China.
I agree. So don't
but you have
don't...
to give breaks to big business to create jobs here.
Do we have to give subsidies to oil companies? I think they're doing all right.
That, on the one hand, maybe we should cut the subsidy. But however, what do you think? It's not going to bite. You're going to wind up paying the same amount.
You're going to wind up. Absolutely. Gas. You're going to pay. I agree with that. You're going to pay. As a citizen, you're going to pay for it no matter what. But what we could do with those subsidies is give them to companies that are trying to find alternative fuels. That maybe we won't be dependent on the Middle East anymore. So if we're going to pay through the nose for gas,
but we need oil now. We need oil now.
Sorry, and you know what? These companies are going to continue.
But how are you going to get money? Because Obama's not letting them drill for oil now.
They have so many leases on places where they can drill that they're not using. There's plenty of places in the Gulf and in the Atlantic where they can drill and they're not doing it.
And I'll give you an example of alternative fuel sources. Okay. They're drilling for, what the heck is it?
Kind of like you looking for words. They're not finding it.
Shut up, stupid. further upstate, yes, I'm making a great point right now. Natural gas. There is a whole thing where they want to call fracking. Where you?
Yeah, it's dangerous.
It's dangerous, but however, there's an alternate fuel source that we have.
It's not an alternate. It's a fossil fuel.
It's a fossil fuel, but there's a plenty of it in Pennsylvania, upstate New York, and the Binghamton area.
So you want to light your faucet and get flame shooting out?
Oh come on, stop being silly.
They've showed it.
Oh please, there's a whole.
They've showed it.
Please. There's a whole alternate fuel source right there.
All right, hold on, wait. I hate to stop this conversation, Frank. I need you for a second. Frank's on the phone. I'm sorry.
Crossword puzzle down.
I got people who want to listen to the show on their computer. I got people in Afghanistan, veterans in Afghanistan. I have other veterans in other parts of the world who want to listen to the show right now, and they're having problems with the stream.
We will check on that right away for you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay.
I've had that problem, too. I've tried Flomax. Anyway.
He's stupid.
Back to the fight.
I'm trying to help our veterans, you know?
I understand.
After this show, they probably want to run into battle.
You got a nice tan.
Thank you.
You look a little devil.
So wait, listen, I'm not saying we don't have to cut some programs. I just think, and every poll indicates, that the majority of the Americans agree with me that we have to do both. You got to raise some taxes. You got to cut some programs.
They're taxing us enough.
Not you. You're not making money.
Oh, listen to me. The whole thing, the rich pay their fair share. The rich pay almost over 50% of the taxes. What's your incentive? And what is a business owner that wants to make more money, that wants to build, what's his incentive to grow his business where he knows he'll be in a higher tax bracket and they're going to come after him? What's the incentive? There's no incentive.
I mean, hold on. But if you make it, if you, so right now I think it's at $250,000.
Right.
It's a 250. So make it $1 million. Make it $2 million. Make it. So you're a small business owner.
But those people are paying their fair share. It's going to get to the point where they're going to get done taxing them, and they're going to come after us. They're taxing
come after
us,
who?
But they're not the people, the regular people that are paying. They're trying to make their.
They're not going to raise. They don't want to raise your taxes.
Please, I don't trust them as far as they could.
Ronald Reagan raised taxes like 14 times.
And Ronald Reagan also had the most prosperous economy that the country's ever seen.
No, he didn't.
Because he was pro-business. Yes, he did.
No, he didn't. Bill Clinton did.
Please.
I guess we don't want to use a little thing like stats and facts.
Please.
He balanced the budget. We had a surplus.
Yeah, well, that was...
There was jobs out the wazoo. Gas was 97 cents a gallon. Oh, those were terrible times.
Yeah, well, you also had time for fun in the White House.
Absolutely. Yeah. Listen, you do that, you can get Hummers from every damn intern.
Yeah.
You balance the budget.
Can we? I'll agree with that, huh, sir.
And if you want to play, if you want some Orange County fare tickets, you can call 845-651-1110 and play God or Lover, and you can balance the budget too. I now have my veterans helping each other.
Good.
To figure out how to do this show.
Good. We had to call the army to figure out how to do this show.
My owner's yucking it up on the phone. guys, I am so sorry. All right, back to what you were saying. I'm sorry, Joe. I'm multitasking.
I like that. Oh, guys, I'm sorry. You're stupid. What are you doing? You're like a mad scientist over there.
No, I'm winning an argument with you and trying to help our listeners.
I'm winning an argument with people are out there. Call in and tell him he's wrong. He's wrong. Enough of our taxing. You got to raise the debt ceiling, but they got to start reeling in the spending. They got all these pork programs, the bureaucracy.
What pork program?
Oh, please.
What pork program? And by the way, your poor Miss Michelle Bachmann, who does not want to raise the debt ceiling. You know what she's getting? You know what she's doing? She's getting farm subsidies.
Farm subsidy?
Yes, because they have a farm. She's getting subsidy. She's a hypocrite.
Yeah, they're all in bed. Now, let me tell you something. The Learjet, Obama says he's going to take tax breaks for Learjet because big business Learjet. Do you know how many people are going to be affected by that? Manufacturers that make all the parts for these jets, the people that service these jets, the rural airports that service these jets. You know, it's stuff like that he's big business is bad and this, that, and the other thing. He's not doing anything to generate business. He's always doing is to generate bigger government. Bigger government. Spend more.
Wait a minute. You rail against big government. Do you like having clean water?
Yes.
Do you like having food that isn't poison like in China?
Yes.
Do you like having a fire department?
Yes.
Do you like having a police department?
Yes.
Do you like having an educated populace?
Yes.
I know you love NASA.
Yes.
This is all government jobs.
I know it's government jobs, but the government jobs that are bureaucratic, and that sometimes and a lot of the times there's a lot.
Give me a government job you want cut.
Let's see, government job, cut the IRS.
Well, I think everybody would agree with that. But then we have no revenue.
Get rid of them completely. A lot of the government jobs. There's a lot of redundancy in the government.
That's true. That's true. No. I mean, listen, with any big business, and you know, corporate America wastes money too. They hire so many middle management people. With any big, you can definitely pare down.
Yeah.
And that's where the private sector is much better than the government sector is. But I have a problem when you start taking gutting the EPA. the FDA, when you start vilifying teachers and everything, when you try to balance the budget on these public workers, I got a real problem with that.
Yeah, but a lot of times, especially with the school districts, a lot of people have kids in school, and they turn a blind side. People go, "Well, the kids are going to suffer. The teachers, work hard. They make and they deserve to be paid well." But a lot of school districts, there's a lot of waste in there. Superintendents making $250,000, janitors making $75,000.
Yeah, you want to clean up child bodies?
You want to know something? It's a tough job. But $75,000.
So wait. You want a cap? Almost.
There should be a cap.
Isn't that
on
more
that.
Like socialism?
No, it's what it basically is. If it's going to be public money, there should be a cap on it, because if you couldn't
they do
run,
have a cap on
you
it.
Couldn't run a private business.
How many teachers do you know?
Huh?
How many teachers?
I
do you
know a lot of them.
Are they living really well?
They're living comfortably. You got to see the
school. Well, shouldn't they live comfortably?
Well, yeah, but however, when a school, let's say a maintenance department buys 50 sinks. And they don't really need them, because if they spend what they're using in that budget,
oh,
that
I agree
year,
with that.
They get more.
I agree
they
with that.
They shouldn't have them.
I agree with
that. And
stuff.
That's a lot of the stuff that's going on in government.
All right,
a lot of the stuff that needs
I'm going
to
say
cut.
Something. I want to see if I can get a rise out of my soldier friends, because they're actually listening now. I think we need to cut back some of the military spending. Now, what I mean by this is I don't mean the quality of weapons and protections that we give our soldiers. I don't mean that at all. I think we should go to the hilt with that. But I don't think we need a force in every darn country in the world. I don't think we need to be hanging out in Germany to help out Western Europe with their defense. We have bases in England. We don't need that stuff anymore. You know, we should have a plan to get out of Iraq and Afghanistan and get our soldiers home. I think we could save a lot of money with that.
Well, a lot of the defense, there's a lot of, where there's some aircraft that, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of programs with, aircraft and stuff like that, and tanks where they get, you know, deals in to get it manufactured and stuff like that. There was, a lot of politicians in the area pushed to get
that. But they all do it. It's not a Democrat-Republican thing. They we need jobs. I don't want big government. I don't want the handouts. Yet they all want the jobs for their district.
Yeah, well, that's half the problem.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The government is broken.
That's where they need to, that's what they
but
need
you're
to
talking about, you say, you're talking about your Republican senators too. And
Yes, I'm talking about all of them.
But you can't, but I'm not saying you, but I'm saying they can't complain, and they do this. In one hand, they complain about big government and waste and pork. In the other hand, they're asking for money, taking money.
But
like Michelle Bachmann.
But like I said, asking for money. That's what I mean by the taxes. They're asking for money. We're gonna do it. We're gonna try to trim it. But however, we're gonna raise the debt ceiling and we're gonna raise your taxes. They're not. They need to make a very big conscious. Obviously, you gotta raise the.
Joe Padula chimed in. I think we need to cut our radio station spending. Obviously, he seen the luxurious studios that we're working at. Yes, Joe, this is where all your tax dollars
yes,
are going. Very funny, Joe.
I think he fired the landscaper. I don't see him today.
So you know what pissed me off about when Joe was in here?
What?
We had talked about getting a picture with Joe, and we were chit-chatting afterwards. After the show, we never got that picture. Remember Joe, when Joe came in, we never took the picture.
Are you kidding me?
No. Yes, I'm kidding you. Ha ha ha.
I'm not being an idiot. Well at this moment. I don't mean, I really, that's hard.
So I guess we're, Joe, you have no choice but to come home safe then. Yeah. And I guess we're going to have to take a picture. Now there's pressure on you, mister.
Yes.
Get your ass home so you can have a photo op and you can see how all your big tax dollar money's going on our big studio. You know, last week, I don't know if you were listening, Joe, but last week they actually had a landscaper outside.
Yeah.
Well, who knew Joe Padula would have the funniest thing to say on the show? But he did.
Overseas.
I guess he didn't like my thing about cutting some defense spending.
Well, it depends. Now, he even brought up himself that there should be some places where defense spending should be cut.
It should be. I mean, we waste all over. Listen, my point is not – what I'm saying is you need to have a balanced approach. And that's what Obama has been saying. And if you look at it, he's given up $3.7 trillion in spending, and he wants $1 billion in revenue. That's a balanced approach. I mean, people on the left are not happy with that. But the Republicans, they just want it one way. That's not how you compromise.
They started to compromise.
Well, yeah, you got the Gang of Six. You seem very intimidating. A bunch of old white guys coming at you. Uh-oh, they look like they have a double-breasted suit.
Well,
head for the hills.
They're cracking the – at least they're cracking the ice, and they're trying to meet each other halfway. But we won't default.
No, I don't think we're going to default either. We got to spend our bill. We got to spend our money.
Yeah, but we do have to, you do have to, if you're going to raise it, you really have to look and start cutting back and, starting to trim everything down.
I agree. All right. Here's what we're going to do. Frank is looking in at me now. Here's what we're going to do. We are going to go to break. After the break, we're going to have Lieutenant Andy from a major metropolitan organized crime division. We're going to talk some mob stuff. We're going to talk some narcotic stuff. We're going to have some fun. If I want, call us back on the other side, 845-651-1110. Hi, my name is Davin Rosenblatt of the Davin and Cisco Show. Besides being the host of a radio show, I am a professional stand-up comedian and owner of the ever-growing entertainment company Sidesplitting Productions. As a performer, I have appeared on Comedy Central and performed several tours overseas for our troops. As a company, for over a decade, Sidesplitting Productions has been providing the very best in live stand-up comedy, murder mystery shows, DJs, and celebrity impersonators across the nation. Our entertainers are perfect for restaurants, special family events, and making that corporate event or party a stunning success. For a free consultation and quote, call me anytime at 845-986-7806. That's 845-986-7806. Or check us out on the web at sidesplittingproductions.com. That's SIDESPLITTING. PRODUCTIONS.com. SidesplittingProductions.com.
Hi, this is Paul Nebraski, host of Morning Energy with Nebraski. Tune into my show every Tuesday at 6:30 a.m. on WTVQ to learn about home energy efficiency, home improvements, and much more.
Hi, this is Benoit Turpin with Pleasant Stone Farm. Please join me on Mondays at 12:30 p.m. for my half-hour program called Living Green, Living Healthy, and Supporting Your Local Community. Remember, Mondays at 12:30 p.m. See you then.
WTVQ Weather.
Temperatures not falling too much for tonight. Lows in the low to mid-70s, mostly clear, and we could find some fog after midnight. Now, any fog on Friday gives way to hazy sunshine. Another very hot and humid day. Highs likely in the upper 90s. There is the slight risk of a thunderstorm heading into Saturday, but the heat wave continues. Highs around 95, partly to mostly sunny. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Sean Rowland.
And we are back. You are listening to Davin Stan on WTVQ, 93.5 FM, 1110 AM. We have a guest in studio. I just want to, before I get to the guest, we have something very important to say. Joe Padula agrees with me, and he tells me that the military have already started doing some cuts, and he agrees with him with cutting some wasteful spending on people and programs that do not want to be in the Army. So there you go. And he also likes the show.
He said that on the radio a couple of weeks ago.
I know.
Well, I agree with you. He agrees with us. I agree with the both of you.
You're an evil person.
Nobody I'm an evil to. Person.
If you want to call in for Orange County Fair tickets, Orange County Fair sponsored our next guest. Without the Orange County Fair, we wouldn't have this next guest. We're very happy to have him. Lieutenant Andy, how are you, sir?
I'm doing quite well. Yourself?
How's it going?
Mike, a little bit. We're good, man. Glad to have you in here. This is going to be fun. Haven't seen you in a while. Knew you from back in the day when you were ne'er-do-well, as was I.
I think back in the day I had some misspent youth there.
Some misspent youth. Well, I do it misspent old age, but what are you going to do? So I want to give a little background for the listeners on who you are, what you do, and everything, and then I want to kind of get into some issues. Is that cool?
I'm all for it.
All right. What is your position?
Well, actually, I'm sitting right now speaking with you, but...
thank you. The Kama Sutra of radio. You should see what he's going to do.
Finally, comedy sneaks back in the
show. Well, you know, Joe, you wanted to do all Rush Limbaugh on us.
But actually, I'm the guy who's in charge of an investigative capacity unit in law enforcement that deals primarily with narcotics, but I have touched in areas of other levels of organized crime, from people doing seedier things, a little bit of gambling, as well as you know, those DVDs you can get for like $5 when
I
the
love
movie
those
comes out.
Don't you leave them alone. Now, the reason we're not giving the lieutenant's last name and exactly where he works is because, you know, for obvious reasons, we're going to touch on things, and for his safety, both in his job and for his well-being protecting us, we cannot give out all the information. So don't email me or instant message me or call and go, exactly who is this guy? He's legit. That's all you have to know. And if not, Joe Curry will whack you like he's Santa Claus trying to get paid at a Burger King.
That's right.
How long have you been doing this, Andy?
Jesus, got to be coming up on 14 years now.
Oh, wow. You've been doing this a long time.
Well, I mean, I didn't always have the assignment that I had now.
But you've been in the police force for
us. Yeah.
Okay. What made you want to get into this line of work?
Well, to be honest with you, it was my second choice. You know, Drew Carey took Bob Barker's job, which was really...
Really? That's what you were going
to
do?
I did want to. Yeah. He did have the best job. I mean,
Joe, you're fired. Finally, we got somebody to bring some comedy to this show. He came with shtick, this one. Well, he's like busting perps. He's like doing one-liners on him.
You get the army taking care of the other half.
Hey, two Italians walk into a bar, and they both walk out in handcuffs. Funny story.
I've seen that before.
You've seen that? I'm sure, yeah. So you're dealing mainly the narcotics right now?
Yeah, mainly in the narcotics trade is something I've taken a knack at and have a little bit of knowledge on.
What's the biggest drug bust you've been affiliated with?
Multiple kilos of cocaine and
wow.
Holy smokes.
On several occasions, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. What's the matter, Joe? You want to see if he's got some on him? Joe got really silent. Joe, you have the right to remain silent.
Yeah.
And for this radio show, I think it would be beneficial. I'm just kidding. So you've been involved in some big deals.
I've had the privilege of working with some diligent guys. They do a lot of good investigative work, and at the end of the day, you know, you're very happy when you have a successful case like that, but it really is more or less a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound, you know.
Well, do you guys usually go after the big drug cartels, or are you going after the small-time dealers or the users? What are you doing?
We're mostly, I guess, you know, at the end, the key to every investigation would be to try and go up with it.
So you start small,
and
you try to turn them, make them work for you.
Yeah.
And then you go up the ladder. What's that like? What's that process like?
Well,
how do you get somebody to turn?
It's all based on information, and certain people have certain amounts of information, and it's a commodity, and you have to treat people right and treat people fairly and give them, you know, an opportunity and make them feel as if, you know, you're doing them a favor.
So basically what you're saying, listen, we could throw the book at you, and you're going to get, I know it's only a joint, but you're going to be locked away for X amount of years, or you could tell us where you got this and work with us, and we'll protect you.
It's something in that regard, yeah.
Don't be vague on that.
Well, I mean, yeah. sometimes, you know, we do give money out to people.
Okay.
And, you know, so it's everyone's got to have money in their pocket.
Everybody's got a price.
Absolutely.
Do you protect these guys? Because I imagine, you know, it could get kind of hairy for them if they...
Accidents have happened. Better it's a, informant from the street than one of our own in an undercover capacity that gets injured. It's horrible to say that, but it's...
So you'll protect them to a point. It's gunfire. Let's hang back in the van.
Well, you know, safety is always paramount, but you do what you can, It's a treacherous area sometimes.
So are you giving them a line of BS? Go, listen, we got your back. And they're shooting. So hang back over here.
You know, it's very rarely have I ever seen someone in that kind of situation. But a lot of it, you know, when they deal with information on a neighborhood level, it's usually they're knowing information in their own neighborhood.
So it's like Starsky and Hutch. You're coming down on Huggy Bear.
Yes, I'm. I haven't had the opportunity to talk to Huggy Bear yet, but I'm sure he does have some information.
He's a big listener to the show. We'll have him call in.
70s reference. Thank you.
You're very welcome, Joe. I want to make you feel at home.
How long does the average case from start to end usually take? On the average?
Between 3-4 months, I would say. You know,
from when you intercept them to where you prosecute them.
Well, again, everything's like a mushroom. I mean, you know, it can grow. And it grows like a fungus. So you do what you can, and you find out. You do also have people that will call in, you know, complaints and things that are absolutely out of their mind and really don't understand anything, and you know they're just lead you on. So it's there's a lot of sifting through, so to speak, and you find out what you can find out.
Where are the drugs coming from?
Geez. You know.
Joe's taking notes now.
I wish my house.
You know, I wish I had the accurate answer to that, but you do get different.
Well,
things.
Most, I mean, like you know, some people say Mexico, some people.
Mexico's huge.
So a lot of them are coming from Mexico.
You know, I mean, there's training in a lot of regards.
Really? Yeah. Really? Is that your contact now? Hey, stop talking, stupid. His cell phone went off.
Yep, very well.
Oh, apparently they're on to him. I guess Lieutenant Andy won't be getting the good stuff this week.
They'll hold it for my friend.
Ixnay on the cocaine, eh? From Mexico, eh?
You know,
look at him. He's trying to play it off all serious now. He's got his undercover puss on. No.
This like is there's a trailer A Bay on the through A Bay. Hey, copay.
Look, he wants to get it out so bad.
No, actually, it's, you know, the Mexican border, they're doing better down there. There's a lot of violence, as you can see. And
sure, it spills over to this country.
Yeah, a lot of that is narcotic. I mean, they've had elaborate things from tunnels underground to freaking catapults.
So a lot of the drugs that are being found in our streets are coming from outside the country?
Yeah, I would say a majority of it. Canadian border, Mexican border, it's a large way to
see
get
Joe,
it.
See, Joe, that's another industry we've outsourced.
Yeah.
Used
yeah.
to be we could grow the good drugs
good
here.
Good old U.S. of A.
See, that's... let me ask you this. Do you find that there's a lot of drug abuse among your peers, the officers?
Never. I've seen maybe, you know, one or two guys in my whole career.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it's a very stressful job.
I mean, alcohol comes into play there.
Well, that's a drug. You could check your email.
Yeah, no, it's all right. They do a lot of that, and, you know, you try and help guys out when you see it.
That's... Have you ever seen these guys, because we keep on hearing about all these air traffic controllers and pilots that are under the influence. Have you seen... You know, your peers going out there working?
Not on patrol, no.
Oh, well, that's good.
No. I've seen them after work in that kind of capacity, and that's actually quite
well, funny. It's after work. You got to blow off steam.
Yeah.
Now, do you personally know police officers that have helped facilitate the drug dealers or cartels? Because you talk about flipping them. You talk about, you know, flipping the negative element and making it a positive. As we know, there's a lot of attempts to flip the positive element and make it negative. Have you seen this?
I haven't seen or anyone that I know. I mean, obviously, you've seen cases, you know, throughout the country.
And, I've seen TV. I've seen movies.
Well, it's a lot different than the movie. But you do see guys get involved in things that they probably shouldn't do, and it ends up leading down a wrong path for them. And there's a lot of collateral damage that comes with that, with your, you know, the whole image of whatever department you're in and the trusting level that you have with the community you're serving. So you tend to get guys that that get involved in some stupid things.
So when you see something like this, what is the pressure? Is the pressure for you to blow the whistle on them, to try to help them quietly, to turn the other cheek? I mean, what's the type of pressure? If you see somebody, one of your fellow officers that may have gone off the beaten path.
You know, you turn them in. There's no doubt in my mind.
Really?
Yeah. You know what? That's... You know, gone are the days, you know, where, you know, Officer Malarkey gets his help from Officer McMahon, and they, you know, walk him down the street and give him a good stern talking to, and, you know, he changes his life for the better. It just doesn't happen.
So it's very positive. If you see somebody doing something wrong, you get a very positive reaction if you turn them in. Your peers don't shun you. You're like, you did the right thing.
You know, I don't know that would matter to me. I mean, a lot of other guys it might matter, but you know what? If you're out there putting your life on the line in the trenches, so to speak, you know what? I want to be able to trust the person that's there with me.
No, you got that. They got your back.
Yeah, I mean, and if they have other self-serving interests at hand, well, you know what? Or if they're helping somebody who's on the darker side, so to speak, well, that's not good.
Well, I mean, with your type of morality, it would seem like you would be perfect to work for, like, internal affairs, which is a very tough job.
It wouldn't be something I want to do. I'm not interested in that.
No,
it's you know, it's a precarious spot, so to speak. But, you know, you do have to have a level of morality by the same token. And a lot of it goes back to, you know, terrorism and drugs and things like that, because ultimately that $10 bag of dope that you're buying, you know, where does that money end up going? Well, incidentally, it might go into, you know, Flacco the drug dealer's pocket, but he bought his from somewhere, who in turn bought it from somewhere, who in turn bought it from somewhere, and at the end of the day, where did that $10 go? It probably helped put $1 million in, you know, some terrorist somewhere who's plotting to do.
So a lot of that, a lot of the drugs come from a lot of terrorist outlets?
Well, anything illegal or illicit like that that's created in a black market creates a lot of finance in a lot of other areas. And some of that money goes places that, you know, lead back to that and tie back to that. I mean, that's on a grander level than what, you know, I do. Right. But the token is that it does happen.
Right. Well, it starts from somewhere.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Is the war on drugs working?
Wow, is the war on drugs?
And your perspective, obviously, you know, I'm talking about your day-to-day, you know, we've thrown all this effort into ridding the country of drugs. You tell me all these drugs are coming in, you're dealing with it. Have we made progress in your 14 years?
You know what? The answer would be a guarded yes.
Okay.
And my reasoning for that is most major cities and a lot of places around our country, the quality of life for people is that much better than it was, you know, when it was cowboys and Indians back in the 70s, 80s, you know, the whole gangster rap image in L.A. in the 90s. I mean, you know, we're out here doing drugs, carrying our gats and doing...
Really? I don't remember you doing that back in the 80s, but okay.
But that's how they roll.
Is that how they roll? Oh, okay. I think we come from the same place. Maybe some baggy jeans and some bad breakdancing, but I don't remember the gats going off.
You never even lit a firecracker. How would you know?
But, you know, it's really, you know, I mean, you're using a lot of, like, social media outlets there, but the point I'm trying to come across is that the quality of life for most Americans in most major cities has become safer and better. And by doing that, you're enforcing it against some of the lower-level people. And by locking them up and putting them in handcuffs and taking them off the street and getting them programs or help or whatever.
So it's working on a smaller level. On a smaller level, law enforcement is being able to do a better job of cleaning up the cities, the towns, and everything. Well, but on a grander level, there's still a bunch of crap coming through.
And it's, you know, it's dangerous because if they can get that in, imagine what else can get into our country.
They let Joe in.
Yeah, let me know. How's the prosecutions on that? Someone that when it goes to trial, how are the prosecution rates on that? Are the successful? A lot of guys walking.
You know what? It's win some, lose some. You know, it's an awesome power to have the state in all of its power try and put you away or take away your freedom. And you better be 100% right. And, you know, if you ever have to testify, it can be grueling. You know, sitting on the stand, taking questions and, you know, being asked the same thing several different ways. I tend to think that, you know, you just try and be as truthful as you can, and if that truth isn't enough, well, then so be it. But, you know, you have to it's a juggling of morals there.
Just getting back to the war on drugs, because this is a hot topic, kind of a hot topic issue, because more and more people are starting to favor the legalization of marijuana. Where do you come down on that?
You know what? It would probably be a great source of tax revenue.
Mm-hmm.
But at what cost? I mean, you know what? There's a breathalyzer for alcohol. When people are driving cars intoxicated, I don't know that they could have. I mean, maybe medical technology could come.
Well, I mean, alcohol is legalized. Nobody under 18 can smoke marijuana.
But how do you stop someone and test them whether in the car and they drove?
You test their hair sample. I mean, you know.
Is it any more dangerous of a drug? And I'm not being combative. I'm just curious. Is it, your experience, is it more dangerous of a drug than alcohol, or is it on the same plane?
I mean, it's illegal right now. So
is alcohol at one time. Yeah. So you know, it's
and see what they did with that.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, how much? Let's flip it this way. How much police resources are spent, and actually the judicial system are spent, and our prisons are spent on this marijuana thing, where you guys could be going after the bigger drugs, where you guys could be doing more with the cocaine and the LSD and the ecstasy.
I don't think the punishment for the guy who does get arrested for smoking a joint is going to be as severe as the guy who's trucking 14 pounds.
But you still got to bring that guy in. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, not and some. Listen, I know sometimes, from what I understand,
they turn
the other way if there's a joint. But I mean, still, I mean, you're still doing that. And if you're bringing that guy in, you know, you're still going to prosecute him. He's still going to be sitting in a cell for a little while. It may or may not go in front of a judge. And it's taking time away from things that you could be doing. You know, maybe domestic abuse, maybe other drug stuff, maybe pulling Joe over when he's stuck in traffic.
Yes, where you see.
I mean, when you do these marijuana things, and it's just a kid with like a dime bag or something. Do you ever? I'm not going to ask you if you turn the other cheek or anything like that. I don't want to ask you that. But do you ever think to myself, God, this is a waste of time?
It depends on there's a lot of variables and dynamics at work. It depends on the area. It depends on your.
Wait. What do you mean? It depends on the area.
You know, what kind of crime trends do you have going on in that area? I mean,
so it's different than say Newark, New Jersey, as opposed to Warwick, New York.
Yeah. Do you have a gang condition? Is it something? You know, I mean, it's unfortunate. The playing fields are not always as level as you would like them, and everything's not.
Does profiling come into it too? You can be honest. Nobody knows who you are.
Yeah, probably not.
Okay.
I would say that.
So if you see somebody, you know, dressed like Joe in a nice polo shirt, or you see a guy, you know, thugged out, we'll just say, you know, with the hat on backwards and the baggy jeans, they're going to, if they have the same thing on, then they're likely, and they're in the same place, they're likely to get the same punishment.
Well, if they... I mean, the punishment aspect, I wouldn't know, but in terms of stopping them, if you have a person that's, say, you... in an urban neighborhood.
Clearly I'm lost. Clearly
trouble.
I'm looking for you.
Yeah.
I am running towards you.
Officer.
You know, you might stand out as someone that I'm going to look at more. It's just, you know, you get a feel for it after a while.
They always look after the Jews because they go to the top with the big business. See what they do there? They're profiling.
Yes. You know what?
Well, what would you be doing in that neighborhood at 12:30 at night?
Yeah. I'd be buying some fake DVDs.
Yeah. Okay. They're out there.
You can get them.
You didn't bring any for us? What type of crap is this? You should come bearing gifts, fake DVDs.
Next time.
Damn it. All right, so... All right, I got you. I got you. You don't want to say too much. I got you.
Well, no, I mean, truthfully, it's you learn just from experience what's out of place, why some person might be a little out of place in somewhere, especially in the north.
So if somebody looks out of place, you're thinking, all right, they might have this dime bag on them, but there's probably more going on. They're probably more involved than this.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Until you see what it's like out, you know, there's so many functions to a narcotics transaction. You know, you have people out on the block on cell phones. Geez, technology's become one of our worst enemies with that. I mean,
your cell phone went off right now. Big drug deal going down.
But no, but you see, you know, you got Craigslist. People set up delivery services.
On Craigslist?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
What, Joe just got an idea?
Yeah.
What type of ad should Joe place? Not that Joe would place,
from
but
a keg
want,
to a kilo. What
does one of these ads look like?
Well, they speak in terms of, you know, narcotic or drug terminology. I got smoke. This type of stuff.
All right, give us an ad. Give it, because I don't know. I don't go on Craigslist.
I mean, if you were to just go online right now and look up and see Craigslist, you know, and type in a keyword of, you know, 420, one of the marijuana things, you'll watch like about 30 ads will come up. Hey, I have this. Or,
and they're that blatant where they don't worry that somebody's going to catch on? And
well, again, there's more of it going on than we'd actually have resources to stop.
Gotcha.
All right, I'm going to do a search. I'm going to do a search right now, 420.
Mm-hmm. 420.
You know, you can look up something like Tina.
I got a power mixer. I got Airsoft SEMA, Gateway E, Delta. It's all computer crap.
try Tina.
I'd love to try Tina.
Let's try Tina.
Sure, she's been tried before. Tina. Mint condition, BMW.
Really, how much?
Step two, out of your price range.
You
Step two, roller coaster, Jennifer convertible, new beaded gown size 12. 12 is not petite, you dumb broad.
Petite?
You're not petite at 12. You're average. You're fine. You're not fat, but you're not petite. You're a liar. Lieutenant Andy, get on that right now.
That's yes, fraud.
All right, Tina has turned up nothing.
If you look, you have to look under, like, the personal ads. Are you in that section?
Well, I just did a search.
All right. If you go to
I looked for all for sale or wanted.
No, go in the personal ads. It's probably...
I think he's sending us down a wormhole.
No. I'm
all personal.
I'm sure he knows what he's doing.
Sure. All right.
I would hope so, because if I didn't.
All personal, Skeena. Be hung and looking to ski.
There you go. Looking to ski. That would be cocaine.
Really?
Yes.
All right. Tina Fey. Never liked her.
Nah, I wasn't really a big fan of her.
Cross-dresser for phone fun.
Okay.
Why would you want to cross it if you're on the phone? You can't see the person.
Transsexual. This all looks like sex. Any partiers?
Yeah, that's partiers. Sure, go into that. They're looking to do some kind of...
What's the FBI?
Well, it says men seeking men in Westchester County. Yeah. Joey, you going to want to deal with this? Disease-free. No, this is just homosexuals
Trust me, it's in there.
Guys with her friend Tina. Here we go. Disease-free, looking for four party guys with her friend Tina.
There you go.
What's that mean?
They're looking for crystal meth, is also known as Tina.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Fascinating.
We have a new radio game.
Yeah. Let's cop with the cop.
All right, let's do another one of these. Kinky Dom Dad needs buy NYU couple turnout. Let's see what they really want. No, they're just kinky and eager.
Just a creep. Yeah.
Never mind.
Again, it's not everyone. Some people just have normal run-of-the-mill fetishes.
All right, here we go. Ski time. Here we go. Yes, ski time 25. Let's see what this says. Leave a name and number. We'll get back to you ASAP. Have a good day. Ski 420, Tina. You're right.
Ah.
I do have some experiences.
Look, now Joe's taking notes. Now I know where to get my stuff.
Yeah.
All right, give me another term. This is a fun game.
Jeez, I'm trying to think here.
We did Tina. We did 420.
Yeah.
If there's no others, that's okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Young Latin men, would that work on there?
I'm sure it'll work on there. And I'm sure something will get smoked, but I'm not sure it's a drug. It might be another type of bone. You see what I did there? I kept that all clear. He's not even listening. Never mind.
Ordering dinner.
Doing rib. I am informing the people how to make a better Craigslist ad is what I'm doing. Yeah. So now when you find this, when you find these things, you know, looking to ski, whatnot, do you guys pursue these leads?
Sometimes.
What's the determining factor?
You know what? It's all set up with, you know, who can get in touch with them, you know, getting secure phone lines, things like that, and trying, you know, we use a lot of pay phones in that regard.
Do you still pay phones?
Yeah, and you know what? That's another thing that
if somebody's on a payphone,
they're probably at
the all right.
You know what I mean? Because you look around, who doesn't have a cell phone?
Right. So, and if there's the same guy a lot,
yep.
You know, he's setting up shop.
That's the truth.
Interesting. All right, so we did Tina and 420. Anything else? I like that game.
Yeah, Tina, 420, ski. There's a couple others.
Joe taking notes?
Yeah.
Let's see what the Tina Fey is. I just want to see what... I fantasize about I can't read that. I do not think this involved the drugs that we were talking about. On the bright side, location, anytime, any place, anywhere. Now, stupid, at WTBQ, get here. Let's see what you can do.
I don't know if some of these people come here. They might have branches you don't want to climb, you know what I mean?
That's why I have you here to protect me.
Yeah, right.
You think I'm doing it when I've just got him and Frank working? No way in hell. Listen, I'm either doing it when I got you or when I got one of my soldier friends. I'm not doing it with just him or Pip Helix or somebody who's not going to protect me.
I would protect you.
You would not protect me.
I'd let my help, but anyway.
Of course you would. Well, that was very informative.
So, as you can see, the technology and the war on drugs is advancing to Craigslist. It's pretty impressive.
Oh, really?
And now eBay next week on Davin's Den.
All
right, let's switch it up a little bit because narcotics is just part of your expertise. You've also done some stuff with the mob.
Sure.
Not dumb stuff with the mob.
Yeah, I know.
Well, if you have, that's a great story too. Actually, I have, but that's a different.
You
story.
Have?
Yeah.
You've done stuff with the mob.
Yeah.
All right.
I've done a couple things.
Okay.
One time I sued the mob.
You sued the mob.
I sued the mob.
Really? And you'd live to talk about it?
My mom and dad and girlfriend, the wife now, would not please. But they owed me money. Mm. It was down in, I think it was in Jersey City, in that area. Jersey City or Newark, around there. And they were running weapons. But I was supposed to do a show, and a comedy show at their restaurant. And I had a contract. And they canceled the show, and the only reason I found out was because some of the fans called. They wanted to make reservations. They're like, oh, the comedy show's canceled. It was inside of a week. I said, well, you know, you got to give me this money. We're not giving you the money, blah, blah. They threatened me. I said, well, all right, we'll see you in court.
They're going to give you a cement yarmulke. You keep on suing them up.
I actually got the money. They didn't show it. You're looking, it was kind of stupid to me. not a bright thing.
Pick your battles.
I had a contract.
Yeah, and they were going to put one out on you.
I think they said some derogatory things about Bill Clinton, too, at the time.
Really?
Yeah. But, yeah, this was like in the late 90s. I sued them. I went to court. They didn't show up. So I got the judgment. And then, you know, 8 months later, I got a check in the mail.
And a horse's head.
Well, listen. You do not screw with a Jew when you owe him money. I think that's the moral of the story. I'll get Tina on you. Then the other time, and this, you know this, a couple of months ago, Gigante the Chin.
Sure.
I did a roast for his at his niece's wedding. I did a roast for them, and they were lovely people. They were really sweet people, great family and everything. But again, they gave me the warning before we signed the contract that don't make fun of Italians killing Italians.
They have some strong feelings.
Yeah, apparently, yeah. Listen, I have no problem with Italians killing Italians. As long as Italians don't kill one particular Jew, we're all going to get along. Oh, crud. We're going to... Wow, we gotta get out of here in a second. We didn't get to plug anything. You've been listening to Davin's Den on a WTBQ. I got shows in West Patterson and Oakland, New Jersey. Joe's going to be at Portobello's. We want to thank Lieutenant Andy for coming in. We didn't get to a bunch of this stuff. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us, tell no one. Either way, keep listening. We're
see ya!
Out.
Your community radio station since 1969.
From ABC News, I'm Brad Wheelis. A tentative agreement to end the four-month-old NFL lockout approved by owners, Commissioner Roger Goodell.
It is time to get back to football. That is what everybody here wants to do.
Players have to sign off on the deal. They're voting this hour. This was the NFL's first work stoppage since 1987. The stalemate in Washington continues.